Live from the historic parsonage of the 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now, here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Thursday on this 21st day of January, 2021. And I'm thrilled to have back on the program to begin part two of a discussion that we began, I believe it was in November of 2020. And this guest that has returned today is Ryan Denton. And he was a pastor on the Navajo Reservation before starting Christ in the Wild Ministries, which he has directed since 2016. And we are going to be joined, God willing, at some point during the broadcast by Joe Jackowitz, founder of First Love Radio, First Love Publications, and First Love Missions. And today we are going to be addressing Ryan's book, Even If None, Reclaiming Biblical Evangelism. And as I said, this is a part two of the discussion that we began back in November. And it's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Ryan Denton.
Yes, sir. It's great to be back on. Privilege.
Well, tell our listeners again about Christ in the Wild Ministries.
Sure. So it is it's intentionally, it's evangelism that's intentionally done outside the church, college campuses, downtown areas, abortion clinics. We go to sometimes jails. I actually started out in jail ministry, and somebody actually pointed out to me the other day, considering the way our culture is going, that I started my ministry doing jail ministry, and I might end doing jail ministry one day. So from the inside, though. But so we basically go wherever the lost are, and we try to preach the gospel and get them tracts and literature and whatever they need, and try to funnel them into a good local church somewhere. And we've been doing it for about 5 years. We're based out of Texas, but travel, so kind of everywhere. So that's what we do.
Praise God. And the website, for anybody interested in investigating that further, is christinthewild.com, christinthewild.com. And I understand that Joe Jackowitz should be joining us soon. He somehow lost the phone number, so I am sending that to him again. So this book that you have written, which has been published by First Love Publications, and it is a book that actually is obviously high enough quality that my dear friend, Dr. Conrad Mbewe of Kabwata Baptist Church of Lusaka, Zambia, Africa, wrote the foreword to it, and I know that Conrad would never have done that unless he thought very, very highly of this book, not to mention the fact that you also received commendations with other prestigious brethren like Dr. Tom J. Nettles, Justin Peters, and Cy Ten Brugenkate. And I know that we've just been joined by Joe Jackowitz of First Love Radio, First Love Publications, and First Love Missions. It's great to have you on, Joe.
Great to be back with you and Ryan and the gang.
Amen. And let's hear about First Love Radio, the station on which this program live streams.
First Love Radio is a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week radio station on the Internet, and Iron Sharpens Iron anchors our 24/7 programming. This show, which we are so pleased to have Chris and your show do that, it's growing, and a lot of people are tuning in all around the world and being fed with various truths from God's Word. And we have a variety of programs, preaching, teaching programs. We have music. We've got quite a few. And you can find that program schedule at firstloveradio.org. That's firstloveradio.org. And click on the programming schedule. We've got teachers like Martin Lloyd-Jones, Peter Masters, Al Martin, and many, many others that most of your listeners should recognize. And so that's First Love Radio.
And First Love Publications?
First Love Publications has been around for about 15 years, 16 years. We publish mainly books. We also have tracks and booklets. We have about 60 titles and growing. We give those away free of charge. We've distributed about 300,000 books since 2006 all over the world, mainly in the continental United States because the postage is so high overseas. And we have a website, firstlovepublications.org, firstlovepublications.org. Our catalog is on the site, and you can just scan through and see what we have. Many authors, some contemporary, some from the last century. And those books are given away free of charge, although we do accept donations.
And last but not least, tell us about First Love Missions.
First Love Missions, we've been going on short-term mission trips since 1994 to countries like Nigeria, the Philippines, Nepal, India, and Kenya and other countries. And we go in for a week or two, and we present a pastor's conference or a Bible conference at churches and at other places, universities. And we bring our First Love Publications with us, usually 1,000 books or so, and we give them away free of charge. We preach on subjects that are critical to pastors. We give a survey of the major doctrines that pastors need to be versed in, an overview of pastoral theology, shepherding, hermeneutics, systematic theology, and preaching, counseling, discipleship. Many pastors overseas don't have much or any theological training or a library to speak of, maybe a Bible and a concordance. And so we'll go in and we'll give them a stack of books to use as references for their studies. And we will give them an overview of every major discipline of the pastoral ministry. And but also we preach at churches. We have Bible conferences in churches and universities on different themes, mainly the gospel, because the gospel has virtually disappeared in most places of the world. So we'll do that usually 2, 3, 4 times a year. We'll host these conferences, that is, host churches will bring us in, and then we will supervise the conference and supply the speakers. We'll usually go in with a team of 3, 4, 5 pastors and 2 or 3 other Christian workers. We'll go in for a week or 10 days or 2 weeks, and then we'll be out. And we've been doing that for like 25 years.
Well, praise God. And can all of this information be found at the First Love Radio website, or do you?
Yes, well, we have a main website address, which is firstloveministries.org.
First Love Ministries.
yes, .org. But then if you go to the individual websites, you can also go to those specific websites directly. FirstLovePublications.org, FirstLoveMissions.org, FirstLoveRadio.org.
Now, did you change those? Did you change those URLs? Because the one of them was not quite so easy the last time we spoke.
Yeah, we're working on it.
Okay.
Put it to you that way. We're working.
Well, I know that FirstLoveRadio.org works because I'm looking right at it. So.
Right. That's good.
Because I think you had to word one of the websites differently because it was already taken or something. But anyway, well.
Right. It was .com, I think.
No, it was the total reversal of the wording or something. But anyway, go to FirstLoveRadio.org and you'll get in touch with whoever you need to get in touch with. And going back to the book, Ryan, that First Love Publications has brought into print, Even If None, Reclaiming Biblical Evangelism, if you could, for our listeners who are hearing you the first time, who didn't hear the last interview on this book, why don't you give us a summary of what the book is about and what compelled you to write the book to begin with?
So the book is about the motive for evangelism and how to gauge whether or not evangelism is successful. And and really, I guess what inspired the book is, like we mentioned earlier, the ministry that I'm involved in, we go and we're preaching in some really dry area, like the college campus and downtown areas where you're not seeing a ton of interest in the things of God, but it seems to be that's just the American scene right now. And so the ground is hard and we're casting the gospel out there and we're not seeing a ton of conversions. And, good biblical churches are not seeing a ton of growth, even though there is some and we do see some conversion. It's never enough, but it's certainly, we're not talking about an abundance here. And so a lot of times the question comes up, well, is it successful and is it worth doing and should we be doing something else? So the book is about not just evangelism, but even, let's say, church growth and what our motive should be and what our principles should be when we are evangelizing. And so churches, they're not growing, so what do? Well, they bring in a different type of music. In fact, I was just talking to somebody today. We were out at Texas A&M evangelizing, and one of the kids, he said, well, I go to Central Church. And I had driven by that church, and I said, oh, Central Baptist Church. And he said, no, we dropped the Baptist name because it was it put people on edge, that word Baptist. So it's similar to that, in the sense of saying, okay, we have to cultivate a church culture or even an evangelistic outreach that's structured around what people desire and explicitly what lost people desire. And otherwise, we're not going to see a lot of quote-unquote success. So the book is about, well, what does the Bible say? And what does the Bible say about church growth and evangelism and what is successful and what's not successful? And so, looking at scripture and also looking at a lot of church history and the early church, where they were going out and they were seeing a lot of growth in the church, but they were also being persecuted and killed and they were having their houses plundered like we see in Hebrews. And so was that considered successful? If you go out and you evangelize or whatnot, and I'm not saying we should, try to intentionally be arrested or something, but What if like in the early church, they're out there and all the Christians get rounded up and they're thrown into the arena. Are they successful? Did it work? And of course, from the world's perspective and from a pragmatic perspective, that did not work because you just lost your life doing it. And so, the question is, how do we gauge successful evangelism? And just to put the spoiler out there, it's not conversions. That's not how you base successful evangelism. Although we want conversions, we pray for them. And we see them, that is not the accurate gauge. The accurate gauge is faithfulness to the gospel because God gives the increase and we don't.
Yes, those outside of the Reformed faith, well-intentioned as they may be, they view evangelism, and they even view the death of Christ itself, as having as its main goal, its first goal, its primary goal, its premier goal, man, the salvation of man. And although, obviously, we who are biblically informed and spirit-filled, and I don't mean in a charismatic sense, those of us who embrace historic Calvinism or the Reformed faith as the vast majority of its heroes would have believed and taught, we must, and we do, and we have a passion for urging and pleading with the lost to repent and come to Christ. And we have a zeal to proclaim Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, and Christ being the one and only hope for salvation. We do have this burden, and we do have this zeal and joy in proclaiming the gospel to the lost. But that is not the primary goal of evangelism or of the death of Christ, is it?
Yeah, amen. Yeah, and you know, when it comes to theology, that's a big emphasis on the book is theology, because the problem with all of this, what we're seeing in a lot of churches in America, and especially, you know, I see it especially with evangelistic methodologies, is definitely pragmatic, and that definitely comes down to theology. And so, in other words, whereas if you're Reformed and you're saying, okay, God is, he has, let's use the word elect, right? He has his elect out there, and he has his sheep out there, and he saves the elect through the preaching of the cross. And if they're not elect, they're not going to believe it. We don't know who they are. We don't know, you know, it's like Spurgeon said, we can't lift shirts and see a yellow X on their back. So we go and we preach it to everybody. And if nobody gets saved in a certain batch of people that we're talking to or preaching to, we don't have to try something else. We just say, well, okay, well, they must not be of the elect. Or we can say, well, they might be of the elect, and they might get saved somewhere down the road, but we're not going to try to do something differently. Whereas if you're not Reformed, you're saying, okay, if they don't get saved, then it's because they didn't do it, or maybe I didn't do it in the right way. And so there's this pressure, I guess. I don't know how else to put it. There's a pressure on me because I have to manufacture this, because it's up to us. God's done everything he can. He's made it to where anybody can be saved, but now it's up to us to make it happen. And so if the gospel's not working, now I got to try something else, or I got to water down the gospel, and I've got to bring other things into it and try that. And of course, that's where you get the watered down churches. You get the anything that's offensive to the lost, remove it. Don't speak about it. Don't tell them about it. You know, because we're trying to do everything we can to get them in, as opposed to just trusting in God and knowing he saves to the full counsel of the cross being preached. So it's a huge difference, and it's a huge issue right now, especially in our culture and probably around the world, assuming that Americans are exporting Arminian gospels into the world. I mean, so that's why Brother Conrad and Mbewe and others, you know, in Africa and other places, I mean, this is an issue for them too.
Yeah, but going back to what I was just saying, though, is not the primary goal of evangelism to bring praise, honor, and glory to God, even if not one single soul is saved? And that is because the primary goal, intention, mission of the Son when he died on the cross was to bring praise, honor, and glory to the Father.
Yeah, amen. And any time Christ is preached, he's worshipped, he's glorified. I mean, evangelism in itself, I just preached a message a few months ago, about a month ago, on the fact that the primary goal of evangelism is worship. Like, worship, if you look at Matthew 28, where the disciples, the first thing they do when they see Christ, right before he gives the Great Commission mandate, they begin with worship. They saw him and they worship him. And then he tells them, Go out into all the world and all authority in heaven on earth belong to me, go therefore. But it begins with worship, and that's the same thing with us. And so even when we're out there, though, yeah, it's the purpose is to worship him, exactly right, and to glorify him. And every time you preach about Christ, it brings glory to God, whether or not anything happens. And that's why, yeah, the title is Even If None, it still glorifies God.
And Joe Jackiewicz, have anything to add?
Yeah, I think worship is a critical element to evangelism, especially when you're in need of motivation and inspiration to evangelize. Ryan's point about the Great Commission and worship is well taken. We also see that when Peter denied the Lord and he was recommissioned in John 21, first Jesus asked him three times, Peter, do you love me? And so the reaffirmation of Peter's love for Christ and that heart bond with Christ lies at the heart of Peter's recommissioning. And that's why it's critical that the springboard of our missions and evangelistic zeal be from the love of God, be rooted in worship, and where the Holy Spirit rekindles deep, deep dedication and consecration to the Lord, coming from that renewal of that love bond with the Lord. There's no greater motivation. As we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the love of Christ constrains me. If all we do is become trained in our mission schools and candidate for 7 years as missionaries or train as in evangelism and just go out and go through the motions mechanically, we've lost sight of the ultimate goal in evangelism, which is to have people come into a saving relationship with Christ and worship him. And the same thing is true when it comes to methodology for evangelists, street preachers, or pastors, any Christian, is the best framework in which to serve in evangelism and missions, and the best springboard is that love relationship with Christ that is renewed by the power of the Holy Spirit in our personal walk with him.
By the way, I do want to get back to the confusion over your website earlier. It seems that at least at one time, it's still an active website, but your First Love Missions website was missionsfirstlove.org. That's why I was saying it was a reversal of words, but it appears you now do have firstlovemissions.com as well.
Yes, we had to find those website addresses that were available that actually had our name. But we also realized that since we have four organizations, the fourth one isn't being promoted yet because we're still making preparations, which is an educational institution to train pastors and believers in the Word, Grace Bible University online. But we wanted a centralized website where everyone can go and then have those four organizations clearly listed on the homepage, and people can go from there and customize for their own desire which area of specialty they want, whether it be publications, missions, or radio. So we have firstloveministries.org that brings all four of them into play.
Great. That will make it a lot easier for people just to have to remember the one website. I'm going to give our listeners our email address because we have to go to our first break. It's chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Please, as always, give us your first name, at least your city and state of residence, and your country of residence, if you live outside the USA. Please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Let's say you disagree with your own pastor over some theological issue we are discussing, or perhaps you're a pastor, you even disagree with your own elders, you disagree with your denomination or the predominant number of members in your church where you pastor. Well, we could understand those would be obvious reasons why you would want to remain anonymous. But other than that, please, if it's just a general question on theology, doctrine, history, preaching, evangelism, the gospel, please give us your first name, at least your city and state of residence, and your country of residence. If you live outside the USA, don't go away. We're going to be right back with Ryan Denton and Joe Jackowitz right after these messages from our sponsors.
Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, announcing a new website with an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World now at no charge for 90 days by going to getworldnow.com. That's getworldnow.com. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital. There's no obligation and no credit card required. Visit GetWorldNow.com today. Also check out World News Group's podcast, The World and Everything in It, at WNG.org/podcast. That's W for World, N for News, G for Group, .org/podcast.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
Was your business shut down during the COVID-19 pandemic, depriving you of earning any money, causing you to default on your rent as you try to survive without income? Maybe you've had to close your doors for good. The good news, you thought, was that you purchased business interruption insurance as a part of your business liability policy with a major insurance company who told you they are a good neighbor, or that you would be in good hands. You filed a claim only to be told that it was denied due to the pandemic exclusion clause. The pandemic exclusion? Since 2006, most insurance companies added this clause to enable them to deny your income loss claims in the event of a worldwide pandemic. Do not give up. No matter what state you live in, call Buttafuoco & Associates now at 1-800-669-4878. Buttafuoco & Associates is a part of a large multi-district litigation, and they are working with lead counsel to bring what they believe will be a successful lawsuit for these claims. It is the best way for you to proceed. There's absolutely no risk to you. You do not have to pay them out of pocket, and there is no fee unless you recover on your claim. You need to call 1-800-669-4878. 4878 right now. Trust the law firm where the attorneys at one of the largest business firms on Long Island, New York, are sending their own clients for representation during this lawsuit. Buda Fuoco and Associates, here to help business owners rebuild their lives in the wake of the pandemic. Call 1-800-669-4878. Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005. The publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm author Gary DeMar, president of American Vision, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Dan Lebenick of West Hills Baptist Church in Huntington Station, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Justin Peters of Justin Peters Ministries, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Reverend Buzz Taylor, author of God's Lawsuit, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Dr. William Webster, pastor of Grace Bible Church in Battleground, Washington, founder of the ministry Christian Resources. The NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Ryan Galan of Central Islip Community Church in Central Islip, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Brandon Smith of Trinity Reformed Baptist Church in Jackson, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Lynbrook Baptist Church on 225 Earl Avenue in Lynbrook, Long Island, is teaching God's timeless truths in the 21st century.
Our church is far more than a Sunday worship service.
It's a place of learning where the scriptures are studied and the preaching of the gospel is clear and relevant.
It's like a gym where one can exercise their faith through community involvement.
It's like a hospital for wounded souls where one can find compassionate people and healing.
We're a diverse family of all ages,
enthusiastically serving our Lord Jesus Christ
in fellowship, play, and together.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bob Waldeman, and I invite you to come and join us here at Lynbrook Baptist Church and see all that a church can be.
Call Lynbrook Baptist at 516-599-9402. That's 516-599-9402, or visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org.
Here's what Gary DeMar, president of American Vision, had to say about Iron Sharpens Iron Radio recently.
Good to be back, Chris. I always enjoy our time. I have to say you're one of the better interviewers out there, and I've been doing this for more than 30 years.
Wow, that's some compliment. How much do I owe you for that?
you don't have to owe me anything, so we're in good shape.
I'm glad you said it on the air, so I don't have to brag about myself. Tell your friends and loved ones about Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, airing live Monday through Friday, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time at ironsharpensironradio.com.
Today at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
Are you tired of looking for the silver bullet when it comes to health and wellness? Are you frustrated with the medical status quo, which masks symptoms and doesn't treat the root problem of sickness? More importantly, are you looking for one of the most unique books ever written, which gives you safe, low-cost, and proven options to regain your health the way God intended? Then look no further than my new book, Health for All of Life, a medical manifesto of hope and healing for the nations. Hi, I'm Jason Garwood, and I'm a husband, father, pastor, and writer whose passion for helping people led me to write this book. If 2020 has proven anything, it's that big pharma, big tech, and big government knows nothing about how to treat people naturally without poisoning them with synthetic drugs and experimental vaccines. But what if God has given us a better way? What if we can take the Christian worldview found in the Bible and apply it to health and wellness? My book, Health for All of Life, does just that. You can find this exciting new book on Amazon. Pick up a copy for yourself and for your friends and family. Give the gift of health and don't be a dead end to truth.
And that individual who you just heard plugging his book, Health for All of Life, a medical manifesto of hope and healing for the nations, Jason Garwood is that author. He is going to be our guest tomorrow on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, so mark your calendars for Friday, January 22nd, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Jason M. Garwood will be discussing Health for All of Life, a medical manifesto of hope and healing for the nations. We are now back with our guests today, Ryan Denton and Joe Jackowitz. Ryan Denton is the author of a book we are addressing today, Even If None, Reclaiming Biblical Evangelism. Joe Jackowitz is the founder of First Love Radio, First Love Publications, and First Love Missions, and he's also the pastor of Christ Bible Church in Dublin, California. If you have a question that you'd like to ask our guests on evangelism, the email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com. As always, give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. And we do have a listener named Grady in Asheboro, North Carolina, a very faithful listener and a very generous supporter financially of this program. He says, greetings, brothers. With most of the social media controlled by secularists, do you see that form of evangelism being shut down? And I guess we'll start with Ryan on that.
What's the very first part of that, Chris?
He says, let's see, with most of social media being controlled by secularists, do you see that form of evangelism being shut down?
Yeah, that's, well, that's an unusual but very important method of evangelism, obviously. You know, it's not mainstream necessarily. I mean, you don't see many church conferences on how to evangelize via social networking. But I don't know much about that, to be honest. You know, I have Twitter and I have Facebook. Don't usually do a lot of evangelism on there. However, it's light for the harvest on there, for those who have time for that. But I would assume that we're always going to have some kind of outlets to reach lost people on, when we're talking about technology. So I wouldn't be concerned about that. I think it'll be fine at least for a few years. Now I think what he might be asking is, what about issues like, let's say, LGBTQ stuff or transgender? I guess that falls under that. But, you know, things that are against cultural norms right now. And so whether or not you'll be able to address those issues, that would be another topic. So I think you'll still have a platform, but as far as how you go about doing that, we might need to be discerning about how to go about that, because I'm assuming, like in England, you'll see clips every now and then of people being fined or even arrested in the UK and I think Australia and places like that for saying derogatory things, you know, about the certain groups. And so there might be something like that, but I think for right now we're okay, and I think there'll be a way to share the gospel while also not having to explicitly mention that and still not compromise on the gospel, if that makes sense.
Anything to add, Pastor Jakowicz?
Yeah, well, I would add that I think it's a very simple equation. The church has never been dependent on anything to share the gospel. The church has always been persecuted and pressurized not to share the gospel in any setting. But it is indeed a concern right now with Google and Facebook and Twitter heavily involved in censorship. And we've seen that in recent months, how the secular media and even now with the new government coming into fruition. And, you know, it's a big concern. But again, no believer is locked in to using social media and their platforms as the only means or one of the only means of evangelism. Actually, it should not be the main means. We should be using our godly lifestyle as well as the preaching and sharing of the gospel message itself, as the primary means of communicating the good news of salvation through Christ. And so what did we do as a church before social media came into existence 20 years ago or before that? So we're not dependent on social media. If they take it away from us, the outlets and the platforms, if Facebook and Twitter and Google begin to clamp down and not allow Christians to share the gospel on social media any longer, and we're accused of being narrow-minded and limited, that's okay. Well, would you share it face-to-face or through word of mouth like we did before? So we should not be locked in to social media, but we should use it as much as we can as long as we have an open door to it.
Great. Well, thank you, Grady. And you have won a free copy of the book that we are discussing, and that is Even If None, Reclaiming Biblical Evangelism. And we want to thank Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service for shipping these books out to our winners at cvbbs.com. And, of course, we want to thank First Love Publications for providing the books. And make sure we have your full mailing address in Asheboro, North Carolina. Grady, we have an anonymous listener, and he is saying here, I have been getting into some heated arguments ever since the loss of the election for President Trump because of the fact that I believe that he was robbed of his presidency, and I believe that the election of Joe Biden was a total fraud. But the reason why this is connecting to your topic today is that in this day and age of even greater hostility over political issues and social and moral issues than I have ever seen in my lifetime, what is a unique way of bringing the gospel to those around us that you could give us counsel to imitate and explore?
Well, I would. Can I go first, Chris?
Yes.
Yeah, go for it.
I would. We need to be careful when we talk about unique ways. I'm not sure if I understand what he means by that term, because believers, pastors, and churches get into trouble when they begin to invent creative and unique ways of sharing the gospel that fall outside the boundaries of accuracy to the biblical message.
Well, to give him or her the benefit of the doubt, perhaps he or she meant finding unique opportunities and using, I guess this would be an appropriate way to use imagination, not that you're changing the gospel or biblically ordained methodology of proclaiming the gospel, but looking for new opportunities in ways that didn't necessarily present themselves before.
Well, I would say that there are more opportunities and different platforms and devices we can use today than the history of evangelism because of social media. I would take advantage of social media. That's a legitimate way. Any legitimate way that you can, texting, emailing, the phone, the telephone, Zoom, you can have Bible studies on Zoom where you could teach unsaved people in small group Bible studies, the gospel. There are so many different ways electronically and legitimately to share the gospel besides the time-honored traditional ways of just holding Bible studies with people. I would caution Christians not to get distracted by all the heat and all the argumentation that's taking place because of the divisive politics that's taking place in our land. We can easily get distracted and get caught up in political disputes and debates, and then we lose our Christian testimony when we get angry and start doing the name-calling and all of that. I would just focus on living a godly life, a holy life, by the power of the Holy Spirit, and sharing the gospel in every legitimate way that we can. And this political season has clearly shown how easy it is for Christians to fall into the snare and trap of getting sidetracked by thinking that the Democrats are the enemy and the Republicans are the good guys. It couldn't be farther from the truth, because whether it be a Democrat, Republican, Independent, Conservative, anyone who is lost needs to be saved, needs to hear the gospel. We don't gauge whether we're going to share the gospel with someone based on what political party they identify with. We're not looking to produce Republican moralists and get them more ethically on the right path. We're looking for conversions. Sin is the enemy. Satan is the enemy. The world is the enemy. And these three enemies have people bogged down as slaves of sin. And we need regeneration. We need the new birth. We need the power of the gospel to come in and to liberate them from slavery to sin. So I would focus on using every legitimate outlet and gateway and gift and skill of communication that God has given you to share the gospel. If you're awkward in sharing the gospel, if you're fearful, if you tend to be naturally timid, then I would pray for strength and for courage and for boldness as a believer. But I would use your gift of writing. If you're a good writer but you just have a hard time face to face, make a list of everybody you know that's not a believer. Start writing letters, or just write a one page or a two page letter with the gospel in it, and then just put everybody's name individually, customize it for each person you know, and email it to them, or mail it to them through snail mail. There's so many different ways you could share the gospel before, or today than before.
And Ryan, perhaps this is something to do with the listener's question. In fact, the listener can even send in an additional email with a clarification. But the lines are being more sharply drawn in our world over especially perhaps social and moral issues. And political parties tend, not always, but they tend to lean towards one side or another when it comes to the social and moral divide in this country. There are some things that both ends of the aisle, sides of the aisle, would view as immoral and would demand and expect from society as being moral. But there are obviously many things like the murder of unborn children, marriage of men to men and women to women, which we obviously don't even recognize as marriage because it's not marriage. Transgender issues, which is also a fiction. A biological male is always going to be a biological male, and a biological female is always going to be a biological female. But when these issues are so much in the forefront of the media and what's going on in the world today, there are some Christians that may even agree with us theologically, that say, oh, you know, you got to keep politics as a totally separate thing, and our main mission in life as Christians is to declare the gospel of Jesus Christ, to declare his word. And then you have others who would agree with that to a degree, but they would say, we cannot compromise, however, on being opposed and boldly and passionately opposing murder of unborn children, of sodomy, which is an unnatural and damnable, abominable sin, and on we could go. And so therefore, you have those that think it is best to keep those issues out of a conversation, whereas others say, no, I mean, the Bible isn't silent on those issues. The only thing that would come close is transgenderism, but obviously it would fall under the category of sexual immorality for certain, because you're not even allowed to dress in the clothing of the opposite gender, let alone having surgery in your mind, become the opposite gender. But if you could, these are very tough issues that Christians face. If you could, in fact, you know what I'm going to do, since we are so close to our midway break? I'm going to have you answer that or respond to that when we come back from our midway break. If anybody else would like to join us on the air with a question of your own, chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com, give us your first name, at least your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. And please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. I understand our last listener remained anonymous because his question involved personal conflict he's having with people who are close to him. By the way, that last anonymous listener, you are also a winner of today's book, Even If None, Reclaiming Biblical Evangelism. So make sure you get us your mailing address so that cvbbs.com, Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, can ship that out to you. But anybody else would like to join us on the air, chrisarnson@gmail.com. Remember, folks, this is the middle break in the show, and therefore it's the longer break that we have in the show, because we are required to have this break longer to accommodate Grace Life Radio, 90.1 FM in Lake City, Florida, because they are compelled by the FCC to localize their programming, including Iron Sharpens Iron, to Lake City, Florida, geographically. Therefore, they air during this break their own public service announcements and other local things, while we simultaneously air our global commercials that are heard everywhere. So please use this time wisely. Write down as much of the information as you can provided by our advertisers so that you can more frequently and successfully patronize them, which will hopefully mean that they will be happy enough to keep renewing their advertising contracts, which will also hopefully mean that we will remain on the air for a longer future, because we absolutely positively depend upon our advertisers to exist. So please, especially if you're listening to this on a recording, don't always fast forward through the commercials. Please don't do that, because we depend upon our advertisers and we want you to patronize them. And if you can't patronize them, at least respond to them and thank them for sponsoring the show, if indeed you love the show. And also send in questions for Ryan Denton and Joe Jackowitz on evangelism. Our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. Don't go away, we'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Buzz Taylor, frequent co-host with Chris Arnson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I would like to introduce you to my good friends Todd and Patty Jennings at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Todd and Patty specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable to everyone. Since 1987, the family-owned and operated book service has sought to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available, because frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means that you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting material promoted by the secular book vendors. Their website is cvbbs.com. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence as Todd and Patty work in service to you, the church, and to Christ. That's Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Let Todd and Patty know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family, Banu Gotti, owner of three New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead. Banu Gotti earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic. Please contact Dr. Gotti so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's L-E-E-S, drugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program.
Greetings in the matchless name of our Lord Jesus Christ. My name is Banu Gotti. I'm a pharmacist in New York, which is the epicenter of the latest crisis the world is going through. In Psalm 139, verse 14, the psalmist offers praise to the Lord like this: I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made, and wondrous are your works that my soul knows very well. He saw God's goodness and mercy, kindness, and the beauty in what God has designed, and he has erupted into praise. In any crisis or problem, brothers and sisters, our only fallback position is to trust God's design. And once we do, there is nothing for us to do but to erupt in praise to him. When the whole world is searching for a solution, God, in his infinite mercy, has given us what we need to address this illness, which can be very serious. Such is the beauty of his design. Knowing that design, how can we not erupt in praise to our great God like the psalmist did? May God bless you and give all of us wisdom to see greater things in his design. Thank you.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so, and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
Are you tired of looking for the silver bullet when it comes to health and wellness? Are you frustrated with the medical status quo, which masks symptoms and doesn't treat the root problem of sickness? More importantly, are you looking for one of the most unique books ever written, which gives you safe, low-cost, and proven options to regain your health the way God intended? Then look no further than my new book, Health for All of Life, a medical manifesto of hope and healing for the nations. Hi, I'm Jason Garwood, and I'm a husband, father, pastor, and writer whose passion for helping people people led me to write this book. If 2020 has proven anything, it's that big pharma, big tech, and big government knows nothing about how to treat people naturally without poisoning them with synthetic drugs and experimental vaccines. But what if God has given us a better way? What if we can take the Christian worldview found in the Bible and apply it to health and wellness? My book, Health for All of Life, does just that. You can find this exciting new book on Amazon. Pick up a copy for yourself and for your friends and family. Give the gift of health and don't be a dead end to truth.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White at the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Thrivent Financial is not your typical financial services provider. As a membership organization, we help Christians be wise with money and live generously every day. And for the fourth year in a row, we were named one of the world's most ethical companies by the Ethisphere Institute, a leading international think tank dedicated to the creation, advancement, and sharing of best practices in business ethics. Contact me, Mike Gallagher, financial consultant, at 717-254-6433. Again, 717-254-6433 to learn more about the Thrivent Difference.
We know we were made for so much more than ordinary life.
Blending faith, finances, and generosity. That's the Thrivent story.
We were made to thrive.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is sponsored by Harvey Cedars, a year-round Bible conference and retreat center nestled on the Jersey Shore. Harvey Cedars offers a wide range of accommodations to suit groups up to 400. For generations, Christians have enjoyed gathering and growing at Harvey Cedars. Each year, thousands of high school and college students come and learn more about God's Word. An additional 9,000 come annually to Harvey Cedars as families, couples, singles, men, women, pastors, seniors, and missionaries. 90 miles from New York City, 70 miles from Philly, and 95 miles from Wilmington, and easily accessible, scores of notable Christian groups frequently plan conferences at Harvey Cedars, like the Navigators, InterVarsity Christian Fellowship, Campus Crusade, and the Alliance of Confessing Evangelicals. Find Harvey Cedars on Facebook or at hcbible.org, hcbible.org. Call 609-494-5689, 609-494-5689. Harvey Cedars, where Christ finds people and changes lives.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com, and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And please don't forget, folks, that solid-ground-books.com is a primary, a premier, a vital sponsor of this program. Without their advertising campaigns funding this program, we would likely not exist if they were to cease doing that. So please visit solid-ground-books.com frequently and purchase from them generously. And always remember to tell them that you heard about them from Chris Arnzen at IronSharpensIronRadio.com. And remember, you're not only going to be doing them a favor, and you're not only going to be doing us a favor, since you're keeping our advertiser happy by purchasing books at solid-ground-books.com, you're going to be doing yourself and anyone for whom you are purchasing gifts from solid-ground-books.com, because they publish the finest in Christian literature from the past and the present. You can never go wrong with anything that they publish, all coming from a solid theologically reformed background. And many of these books are treasures from the past that have been brought back into print that would have been possibly forever lost in the dustbin of history were they not, some of them, discovered after having been unknown for centuries, or at least many decades. Some of them were more well-known treasures of literature that have been brought back into print. But they also have contemporary authors like Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries and others that they do publish. So please remember solid-ground-books.com, solid-ground-books.com. Put that website on your refrigerator with a magnet. Put it on a Post-it note on your laptop screen or anywhere else that you frequently look, and visit that website often and purchase from them frequently and generously. Solid-ground-books.com. And again, always mention Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio whenever you're making a purchase. Before we return to our guests today, Ryan Denton and Joe Jackowitz, on our discussion, this is part two of a discussion we began a number of months ago, Even If None, Reclaiming Biblical Evangelism. Before we return to that, we just have some important announcements to make. Once again, tomorrow, I've got Jason Garwood on the program, and he is going to be discussing the book that you've been hearing advertised every day, typically at least twice a day, and that is Health for All of Life, a medical manifesto of hope and healing for the nations. So make sure you tune in tomorrow for that discussion. I am so excited to be manning an exhibitor's booth for Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on Thursday, January 28th, 8 a.m. to 12 noon at New Hope Bible Church in Mifflinburg, Pennsylvania, for the Central Pennsylvania Church Leadership Conference featuring Vody Baucom. If you don't know who Vody Baucom is yet, you have got to discover and begin benefiting from this truly extraordinary, gifted preacher and speaker and author. He is truly one of the most powerful and bold and courageous and gifted preachers and teachers and authors alive today. And I'm not using hyperbole, I'm not exaggerating, and I'm not using sinful flattery for Vody Baucom. In fact, there are many who are far more discerning than me who would share that opinion of Vody Baucom. He is going to be speaking on an extremely important issue, critical race theory. This is a heresy that, unfortunately, has not been confined to liberal mainline churches and leftist organizations and apostate churches and denominations. This has actually crept into formerly conservative and formerly historically reformed and biblically faithful pastors and churches and ministries, and is coming out of very unexpected places today. You really have got to become educated on critical race theory, which is all a part of the woke movement and the social justice warrior movement. And what makes Dr. Baucom a unique spokesperson opposing critical race theory is that not only is he brilliant, and not only is he gifted, and not only is he biblically faithful, but he is also a black brother, and he has lost friends because of this. He has been sharply ridiculed and mocked and disfellowshipped by black brethren who are promoting this insane and wicked heresy, critical race theory. So please join me and learn more about this so that you can be further equipped to guard your own flock and your family, friends, and loved ones from this heresy. Join me Thursday, January 28th, 8 a.m. to 12 noon at New Hope Bible Church in Mifflinburg, Pennsylvania, for the Central Pennsylvania Church Leadership Conference with Vody Baucom. Go to Facebook and type in the search engine Central Pennsylvania Reformation Society. That's Central Pennsylvania Reformation Society on Facebook. You could also email me if you want me to pass on your question about this event and how to register to the pastor who is orchestrating and hosting this event. My email address again is chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. God willing, I will see you there while I'm manning my exhibitor's booth for Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on Thursday, January 28th from 8 a.m. to 12 p.m. at New Hope Bible Church in Mifflinburg, Pennsylvania. Pastor Joe Jackowitz, I happen to know that you have seen and heard Vody Baucom because I've been at the same conferences on occasion where he has been on the roster. If you want to put in your own two cents about our dear brother, Dr. Vody Baucom.
Well, as you say, I agree with your endorsement. He's a very faithful brother to Scripture, very orthodox and biblical in his teaching. And from, like you said, he's a very powerful preacher. So we certainly can follow suit in with your recommendation.
Great. And that's Central PA Church Leadership Conference. And you will find out all the information you need about this conference, exposing and refuting critical race theory with speaker Dr. Vody Baucom. And that's Thursday, January 28th, 8 a.m. to 12 noon, at New Hope Bible Church in Mifflinburg, Pennsylvania. And if you want to make it easier for yourself, you can just send in an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. And I just realized that the Facebook page would be Central PA Reformation Society. Central PA Reformation Society, and the event is the Central Pennsylvania Church Leadership Conference. So try to remember that. Also, folks, if you love this show and you don't want it to disappear from the airwaves, I'm urging you, I'm pleading with you, please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You could donate instantly with a debit or credit card in that fashion. You could also mail in a check the old-fashioned way via snail mail to the physical address that will appear on your screen when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com. Please, folks, please consider us, because we are really hurting financially due to the hysteria from the coronavirus pandemic, because it has hurt so many businesses and careers and livelihoods of listeners. So therefore, the giving has gone down and the advertising has gone down. And, you know, you may think that the advertising hasn't gone down, but some of our advertisers are receiving a lot of bonus commercials, because I am counting on them returning as sponsors of this program after they have already had to postpone paying for advertising. And they've been so faithful in the past, I wanted to bless them, and so I keep bonus ads running for them. So we're hurting a lot more than you may think in the realm of advertising also. So please help us financially, and go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. And also, if you want to advertise, please send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line, as long as whatever it is you are promoting is compatible with what we believe. You don't have to believe identically with what I believe, but you need to be promoting something that's compatible with what I believe. I would love to help you launch an ad campaign, because we surely do need the advertising dollars. It's chrisarnson@gmail.com, and put advertising in the subject line. Please remember, I don't want folks siphoning money away from their regular giving that they're accustomed to their local church where they are a member, in order to give to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. In other words, don't punish your own church financially by blessing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Never do that. And also, if you are really struggling to survive, please don't put your family in financial peril by giving to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, or put yourself in further peril by doing that. Please don't do that. Providing for your church and your family are two commands of God. And while providing for Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is obviously not a command of God, if you love this show and are blessed financially above and beyond your ability to obey those two commands, providing for church and family, please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now, and donate frequently and generously. We really do need your help. Also, if you are not a member of a local Bible-believing church, no matter where on the planet Earth you live, I may be able to help you find a church. I've already helped many people in our audience in all parts of the globe find churches that they didn't even know existed right around the corner from them sometimes. If they did know they existed, sometimes they didn't know that they were biblically sound. So I may be able to help you, no matter where you live. I have lists of biblically faithful churches, extensive lists, covering the planet. So send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com, and put Oneida Church in the subject line. It's also the email address where you can send in a question for our guest today, Ryan Denton and Pastor Joe Jackowitz. And this is the second interview we are doing, part two, if you will, of our discussion on Ryan Denton's book, Even If None, Reclaiming Biblical Evangelism. And our email address again is chrisarnson@gmail.com. And Ryan, as you heard me saying before the break, I wanted you to address how we are to remain faithful to biblical truth while proclaiming the gospel, and how do we... How are we faithful to God and the Scriptures in that tension that exists between, on the one hand, not wanting anything to dilute or cloud or eclipse the gospel, but at the other end of the spectrum, not sweeping things under the rug as would make life much easier for many of us, to remain silent about things like the murder of unborn children, like the wicked and damnable sin of sodomy, et cetera, et cetera. How do we go about in the 21st century, especially when these issues have become more and more heated issues to the point of people losing careers and being, who knows what's down the road, being fined, and we don't even know how bad these things are going to get. We might even be in prison for opposing so-called women's health rights by being against abortion and being against homosexuality, et cetera. So tell us about what your thoughts are on evangelism in the midst of this climate.
Well, emotionally, I think it's difficult right now to distance yourself from becoming overheated. And I think that's the first warning that I would say, you know, I think for myself as well. I mean, in other words, the temptation is, because things are so polarized and it has, these topics are no longer just isolated, let's say, political issues, you know, where you can just kind of have a, you know, we should be able to do this, but it's just not that way right now. It doesn't seem like, you know, where you can just have a civilized discussion, maybe even a debate or, you know, some kind of friendly argument about an issue. But, you know, obviously, as we all know, that things are so polarized now that if you approach, let's say, someone who's on the other political spectrum as you are, and you approach them, it's hard to see them as someone who is not an enemy. You know, they're not enemies in the sense of they are an enemy to the gospel, they're an enemy to the church, they're an enemy to God, etc. But when we bring the gospel to them, I think it's very easy to allow ourselves to see them as an enemy of ourselves. You know, like, and in other words, you know, just like any time we evangelize, we should be motivated by a love for that person. And it's difficult to love people in today's climate. I think that's the thing. It's just difficult to love the neighbor across the street who puts out the signs that we don't like, or, you know, they have the issues that oppose ours, and it's difficult to love that person. And I think that's the first thing that we have to watch out for, you know, in this culture that we live in. So when we do approach them with the gospel, we're seeing them as someone who, I mean, we would be as lost as they are, but for the grace of God. And, you know, this gospel is the power of God unto salvation to save them, and that's what they need. And it's so easy to get, on the one hand, distracted by issues. I think Pastor Joe earlier made a great point, you know, where it's, you know, don't get distracted. It's easy to get distracted into issues like whatever political thing is going on. However, on the other side, like you're mentioning, Chris, these issues are gospel issues. You know, abortion's a gospel issue. Injustice in the streets or in the political system, that's a gospel issue. And so, you know, the LGBTQ stuff, that's a gospel issue. And so, on the other hand, it is to say that these things do need to be exposed and brought to light, and bringing the gospel to light on those issues, you know, to bear on those issues. And so, in other words, we need to stay focused, but really examining ourselves to make sure we're doing this in the right motive. In other words, if I'm talking to somebody and I know the gospel, it's so easy to, we were talking last time about presuppositional apologetics, which is beautiful. It's so easy to debunk, and to prove the inconsistency of things like, LGBTQ even, you know, we were talking today how really Christians alone have the basis for saying Black Lives Matter as far as the sentence goes, you know? So in other words, do we look at someone, anyone, and we know that people have value because they're made in God's image. And the non-Christian can't say that. For the non-Christian, no one has value. And So we have the truth. We have a gospel. We have a Bible that will expose the error of what we're seeing in our culture today. And it's really easy to debunk these errors. And however, it's almost like if I see these people as my enemy, when I go to them and I'm exposing their worldview, it's almost like if I don't have the right motive and I forget that I'm trying to win their souls, you know, I want them to know Jesus Christ. I want them to love me. I want them to sit next to me and worship the same God that I'm worshiping in heaven. You know, and if I'm going there and seeing them as my political enemy, then it's a lot more difficult, you know, and I think it's so easy in our culture. I mean, it's so easy for anybody to get caught up in it where we're no longer seeing people as people, but for the grace of God, they would be just like, well, we would be just like them. And so, that's the first thing I think, you know, to have the right motive. And then secondly, to make sure that when we are bringing the gospel on these issues, that we remember that we want to win them to Christ, and we don't want to win the argument. That's easy. It's so easy, right? We want to win them. And so those two things are very difficult to do in our climate, but we have to do that. We have to keep that in our minds.
And Joe Jakiewicz, anything further to add?
I would add to that, we need to make sure that everything about the way we communicate the gospel conforms to the very message that we're communicating. So in our tone, in our demeanor, we need to make sure we're very gentle and loving, that we don't get caught up in disputes and arguments over minor things, that we have grace and strength from God to rein in heat, to make sure that we're putting forth light and to rein in the heat, and that we... If the more we can understand the gospel message in its details, in its finer points, especially the doctrines of the cross, the more comfortable and relaxed we'll be in understanding where a person is coming from, so that we don't have to knee-jerk react based on ignorance. And so I think a thorough and deep knowledge of the gospel will help us in communicating. We don't have to linger on addressing these sins of our culture, LGBTQ, and all of these other things. Yeah, there's a place to bring the gospel in to address them. But if I had 30 minutes to share with someone who's a homosexual or LGBTQ, I would spend 30 seconds on addressing the sin and what the Bible says about that sin. I would communicate that in the most loving, gentle manner as possible. Thirdly, I would use my own experience and my own vantage point and frame of reference as a sinner, even though there may not have been or there isn't a sin of homosexuality, I would identify with the person as a sinner so that he or she doesn't get the impression I'm talking down to them with a holier-than-thou attitude in a condescending way. And I would spend 29 and a half minutes focusing on Christ and Christ crucified. That's what I would do, because we don't want to beat people up too much with the law. The law never saved anyone. Yes, we have to call out sin, and we have to identify the sin, and we have to paint a picture of its blackness and its vileness from the perspective of Scripture, but I would dwell mostly on the cross and on Christ, because Jesus said, when I be lifted up, I will draw all men to myself. We do have to call out the sins of our culture, but we need to maintain all the other rules and principles in sharing the gospel that all believers of every generation had to maintain, which is to focus on Christ, make sure our character and the way we communicate the gospel conforms to the law of love, and so forth.
Yeah, I think a key thing, and not that everything you said was important, but a key thing I believe that you said, because of the temptation to do otherwise in this climate, this heated climate, is that we must never, as Christians, give the impression to the lost that we think that we are innately better, and that we and our friends and our conservative friends and our Republican friends and our libertarian friends are better than they are. Be like us, join us, and all will be right. We have to make sure that we present the gospel being very clear, open, and honest, that we are sinners saved by grace alone, through faith alone, and Christ alone. We have discovered the cure, as it were, to this disease that destroys all of humanity. And we, out of love and compassion, don't want to hog this to ourselves. We want everyone that we come into contact with to know and receive this cure. So I think everything you both said was spot on. We have a question from David in Sumner, Washington. How much respect to men should Christians give when it comes to evangelism at work, school, marketplace, or public settings? If you are told that you cannot speak here because it is hate speech, should Christians change their message, avoid speaking on certain topics, stop and go elsewhere, or continue doing so, assuming the risks of adverse consequences? That's probably going to be something where it's different in different specific circumstances, I guess. I'm assuming that you can't have a cookie-cutter answer to that. But if you could, Ryan, start.
Yeah, so if you're in school, at work, you know, let's say you're in a situation where they say you have to act in this way or you'll lose your job. The reality is, like you're saying, it's case by case, I would say, but here's the thing. I don't know if we talked about this last time, but one thing about evangelism that is unique, from, let's say, church, is that when, let's say, the government comes and says, okay, it's illegal to meet in church, and so what do you have? You have underground churches that meet anyways, and, you know, the idea is to get away with it. You know, the idea is you want to meet secretly, and you don't want to be exposed. So that's a lot different, though, than evangelism, because evangelism is intentionally exposing what you believe, exposing your beliefs to people who are at odds with that belief. And so that's why evangelism is different. So in other words, we can still meet together secretly without anyone knowing about it, but we also have the commandment from Christ to go and share what we believe with other people. And in a climate like ours, let's say China, you know, or somewhere like North Korea, you know, where it's just outright illegal to proselytize in any form. The reality is as Christians, we're called to do it anyways. And that's where the rubber meets the road. And, I don't think any of us have really had much experience in this climate. So, but it is to say that case by case, you know, I mean, I'm afraid that if we continue to say that if your workplace does not allow you to evangelize, then don't evangelize. I'm afraid that if we go down that road, what happens when it's illegal anywhere to evangelize? And we've been trained to say, well, if you can't do it here, they tell you not to do it here. And we've always said, okay, if they say not to do it, you shouldn't do it. Then what happens if every place in America says you can't do it? Well, we have to do it anyways. And so it is to say that you should use discernment. It's not like you have to have a, you know, like a bullhorn and go into your workplace and stand on a table and start preaching. But it is to say that we are called to share the gospel, and you're going to have opportunities, one-on-one opportunities. You know, if you pray for open doors to share the gospel, God's going to open doors and you'll know it. And that's what we have to look for. We have to look for God opening doors, whether you're at work, whether you're in school, etc. You know, in other words, you don't have to intentionally be obnoxious about your beliefs. God will open doors for you, and look for it and pray for it, and God will bring you through that. And if it comes down to it, you know, some people have been killed throughout history for expressing their beliefs in Christ, and you know, if it happens, it happens, I guess. If it happens, you get thrown into jail, or you lose your job, or you you get kicked out of school or reprimanded for that. I mean, the reality is we're told, do not be surprised, marvel not if the world hates you. And just use discernment though, and be prayerful about it, and God'll bring us through it.
Amen. And obviously, I know that you didn't want to give the idea that we should be glib about the cost of evangelism that may include the torture and death of people, especially in other parts of the world. And who knows what comes around the corner in this country eventually. Those are things that are obviously horrific and tragic, but at the same time, as you said, we have to obey God above all else and fear God infinitely more than fearing men.
Hey, Chris?
Yes.
Before you go to your break, do I have a few seconds to make a couple of quick announcements?
Yes.
Well, I wanted to offer your listeners the book, Even If None. First Love Publications, our ministry, has printed this book, and we're offering it today to all of the listeners of Iron Sharpens Iron, free of charge. You do need to order it on our website. You'll go to firstlovepublications.org. That's firstlovepublications.org. And just follow the instructions. You want to click on the books and then go to the cart. Click on the book that you want and go to the cart. But in this case, you would just order one book, which is Even If None by Ryan Denton, my brother and partner on this broadcast. And that's free of charge. Plus, I wanted to announce a new program we've had for a couple of months called Purity for Life. This is a pioneering project of First Love Radio. You can't hear this broadcast anywhere else in the world. We've partnered with Pure Life Ministries. Steve Gallagher is the president of Pure Life. He's an author. He's written a number of publications. I think you've interviewed him before.
Yes.
His ministry focuses on sexual addiction. And today, I think masses of people are drowning with sexual addiction, including in the church. It's the best kept secret that everybody knows about in the world, but especially in the church. We don't talk about it. It's a taboo subject, but it's a huge area of ministry that has not been addressed. And First Love Radio, in cooperation with Pure Life Ministries, has put together this program called Purity for Life. You can hear it tonight at 7 p.m. I believe that's West Coast time. You can see it on the program schedule on First Love Radio's website. If you go to firstloveradio.org, that's firstloveradio.org, on the homepage, click on the programs link at the top, and then click on the go down to the program schedule, the first link in the drop-down box, and the program schedule will come up, and it's on 7 p.m., Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday, and Saturday at 1:30 p.m. It's a very, very good program. The counselors and the teachers offer very pragmatic, helpful advice to those struggling with sexual addiction. And I don't know about anyone else, but everywhere you turn, sexual temptation and images are in your face. So saturating social media with them, everywhere you turn, television, cable TV, everywhere are these images, and you can't get away from it. And men especially, but everybody are tempted everywhere you turn to indulge their lusts and sin against God. And so this program, I think, it has been very helpful. Purity for Life, rather, has a tremendous ministry, not only with this radio program, this new radio program that you can only find on First Love Radio, but also their books, their courses, and their in-person counseling program they have at their headquarters in Kentucky.
Great. Well, all of that sounds excellent. And we're going to go to our final break right now. It's going to be a lot more brief than the other breaks. And if you have a question, I would strongly urge you to send it in quickly because we're rapidly running out of time. It's chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Don't go away. We'll be right back with Ryan Denton and Joe Jackowitz after these messages.
Are you tired of looking for the silver bullet when it comes to health and wellness? Are you frustrated with the medical status quo, which masks symptoms and doesn't treat the root problem of sickness? More importantly, are you looking for one of the most unique books ever written, which gives you safe, low-cost, and proven options to regain your health the way God intended? Then look no further than my new book, Health for All of Life, a medical manifesto of hope and healing for the nations. Hi, I'm Jason Garwood, and I'm a husband, father, pastor, and writer whose passion for helping people led me to write this book. If 2020 has proven anything, it's that big pharma, big tech, and big government knows nothing about how to treat people naturally without poisoning them with synthetic drugs and experimental vaccines. But what if God has given us a better way? What if we can take the Christian worldview found in the Bible and apply it to health and wellness? My book, Health for All of Life, does just that. You can find this exciting new book on Amazon. Pick up a copy for yourself and for your friends and family. Give the gift of health and don't be a dead end to truth.
Chris Arnson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, announcing a new website with an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World now at no charge for 90 days by going to getworldnow.com. That's getworldnow.com. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital. There's no obligation and no credit card required. Visit GetWorldNow.com today. Also check out World News Group's podcast, The World and Everything in It, at WNG.org/podcast. That's W for World, N for News, G for Group, .org/podcast.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nestle Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to ptlbiblerebinding.com. That's ptlbiblerebinding.com.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001,
Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnzen. This is our final segment of today's discussion with Ryan Denton on his book, Even If None, Reclaiming Biblical Evangelism, and with Joe Jackowitz, who has joined us for this discussion today. He is the publisher of this book, being founder of First Love Publications, in addition to First Love Radio, which live streams Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and many other fine Christian broadcasts, and also First Love Missions. If you have a question, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Well, I want to make sure, Ryan, that you have at least a few minutes to be uninterrupted and to summarize everything that you want our listeners to make sure they remember, everything that you want etched in their hearts and minds before they leave this program, and we'll do that before we take any more listener questions.
Sure. You know, it's encouraging, I think, to know that evangelism is actually very simple. It's going to people who don't know the gospel and sharing the gospel with them. And that's it. That's what evangelism is. It includes calling them to believe in Christ, and it includes things, especially like the resurrection of Christ and God and his character and man and, you know, especially creation. I think that's a big topic to bring up today because of the fact that there is a real assumption in our culture that we get to define certain things, and we don't, because God's creator and we're not. So that's evangelism, though. And when you look at Matthew 28, what's encouraging is that, like we talked about earlier, it begins with worship. They worship Christ. He tells them that he has all authority in heaven and on earth. Then he says, go therefore. And at the very end of that passage, he says, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And so he recognized that there's a real tendency within us to either A, be fearful and not evangelize at all, or number two, we look to ourselves and we trust in ourselves and we trust in our education and we trust in our knowledge, we trust in our experiences when we evangelize. But Christ says, no, we have to look to him. We have to trust in him. And so, you know, I just want to encourage people to look to Christ when it comes to evangelism, look in scripture, and don't get caught up in the results. And because think about it. If somebody does get saved, sometimes it's hard it's always hard to tell in a sense, because it takes time to actually not to get saved, but it takes time to see that conversion's genuine, you know. And sometimes it takes a while sometimes. And Christ tells us about that in the parable of the soils and things like that, where he's saying, it's easy to be deceived and there's a lot of false conversions out there. And so don't get caught up in the results necessarily as far as, well, was it successful or not, but rather look at whether or not you did it and whether the motive was correct, and then trust in God to bring forth a harvest.
Praise God. And Joe, do you have anything to add before we go to any listener question?
I would say the need is very, very great. The work to be done today with the gospel, like never before, is huge. There's 7 billion people on the planet. 200,000 plus of them die every single day. People need to hear the gospel. Our job is not to save. Our job is to plant, water the seed. Some sow, some water, but God gives the increase. And we need to share the gospel as much as we possibly can. We need to go into the harvest to do the work of sharing the gospel. there are not enough Christians sharing the gospel. Many of us Christians have heard the equivalent of thousands of sermons. We have the equivalent of a master's degree in theology from that. Are we going to keep that knowledge to ourselves, keep it a secret? We need compassion for unsaved people in their need, in their blindness, in their slavery to sin. We need to, as Ryan said, fulfill the Great Commission, go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. But we need to also do the second part of that Great Commission, is make disciples, teaching them all things whatever Christ has commanded. And so we need to not only promiscuously broadside the gospel in the marketplace, but we need to form Bible studies. We need to have one-on-one, one-on-two, and small group Bible studies where we share the gospel with unsaved people. Make a list of every unsaved person you know on a piece of paper in your area and invite them to a Bible study that would go through the Gospel of John and share, and answer their questions. Even if you did that with one or two people in an ongoing basis, discipleship, 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 a greatly neglected aspect of evangelism. And so I would encourage your listeners, Chris, to get busy because Christ is coming soon. The signs of the times are in our face every single day. I don't know when the Lord is coming, but the Lord told us that we would know the times and the seasons. And so I believe that we're in the end times, and I think that with the remaining breath and days that God gives us, the remaining time we have, we need to devote ourselves to holy living and sharing the gospel with every unsaved person we know.
Praise God. Well, we have another anonymous listener. The anonymous listener says that I have been evangelizing and witnessing to my close family members and many within my close circle of friends for many years, and it seems to have been unfruitful. I don't know how much impact the Word of God has had upon their hearts and minds, but it is not evident to me that it has any impact at all. How do I take the verse in the Bible in Matthew chapter 10, verse 14, and whosoever shall not receive you nor hear your words, when ye depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet? How long shall I continue to persevere in evangelizing these family members and friends who continually, week after week, month after month, year after year, reject the gospel message being presented to them? I know that the Bible doesn't give an exact number of weeks, months, or years, but do you have any counsel in this area for me?
I'd say don't stop. You know, there's a lot of times people say, well, how do you know if you're casting pearls before swine? And I think you'll know. You know, when you know it, you know it. And you know, there's a sense in which family is always difficult to evangelize, in a sense. But you know, if you know, you don't, again, want to be obnoxious about it, where you're just berating people, and that's you know, all the conversation is, and they've asked you, hey man, I don't want to hear about that. Yeah, I think to a certain extent we should grant that. But at the same time, like earlier we were talking, you know, be praying for open doors to come about, and keep praying for them. And in due time, I think when you have the open doors and the open windows and sprinkling it in here and there, and, you know, I just don't think we should ever quit on anybody, and especially if they're close to us. Whether it's just in prayer, it doesn't mean, again, you're constantly talking about it necessarily, although we obviously would want to do that. But, you know, I don't think we need to do that if we've shared it and, you know, they've rejected it. And, but at the same time, keep looking for those opportunities.
Well, what exactly does Matthew 10:14 mean then?
Well, Kit, lastly, Pastor Joe, you want to answer that one?
Yeah, I think it means if a person deliberately, intentionally, outright rejects the gospel, whether it be the first time or after many times, and they send you a clear message, I don't want to hear it anymore, please don't share with me, it indicates that that person has crossed over a line in hardening his or her heart against the gospel. And God doesn't want us to strive with people and keep doing that. He doesn't want to have us take our pearls and have them cast dirt on it. At that particular point in our relationship with them. So as long as they're willing to hear, like Ryan said, as long as there's an open door, keep witnessing to them. If they, even if they tell you, whether it be a relative or anybody, that I don't want to hear it anymore, you can continue to witness to them through lifestyle evangelism. In other words, preaching the gospel through your godly life, showing the unconditional love of God to them, that will get their attention. And God may use that to plant seeds he's never planted before in them, leading to their conversion where they would once again become open to hearing the cognitive word again. I look at George Mueller's testimony, the great man of God from the UK in the 19th century, where during 73 years of ministry and praying for people, he prayed for 306 people for their salvation throughout his life. When he died, 294 of them had gotten saved. Some of those people he had to pray for 10, 20, 30, even 50 years. And the remaining 14 of them got saved within 10 years after his death. In other words, keep praying for people, like Ryan said, for that open door. God can change their heart to become receptive again to the gospel. Don't get discouraged. Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. So that's what I would suggest.
Do you think that in the context of this passage, that this is specifically addressing itinerant evangelism, if you will? I mean, when you get to 11, verse 11 in chapter 10, it says, "Now whatever city or town you enter, inquire who in it is worthy and stay there till you go out. And when you go into a house, greet it. If the household is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whoever will not receive you nor hear your words, when you depart from that house or city, shake off the dust from your feet. Assuredly, I say to you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city." It seems to me that it is speaking of the disciples going to strangers' homes, and that this should not be blanketly applied to your own precious loved ones who are in your immediate family, your parents, your siblings, your children, your grandchildren, etc.
And that might be right, Chris, if you think about when you go to, I know we do a lot of evangelism with people we don't know and we'll never see again, and they reject the gospel, then you don't want to waste time with them, you know, with all the other people out there to get to. You want to go to one guy that I work with, he calls it people of peace, you know, people that are not going to outrightly reject it. And if they do, then move on and go to somebody else. So I think, yeah, that makes total sense.
Well, I can't believe we are actually out of time already. Want to once again give our listeners your websites, Christ in the Wild Ministries, which is the ministry of Ryan Denton. You could go to ChristInTheWild.com, ChristInTheWild.com. And for First Love Radio, First Love Publishing, and First Love Missions, you could go to FirstLoveMinistries.org. FirstLoveMinistries.org. That is a central website that will have all of the other varying ministries under that umbrella, headed by Joe Jackowitz, available to you at that one central website. That's FirstLoveMinistries.org. I want to thank both of you for doing such an excellent job today. I want to thank everybody who listened today. especially those who took the time to write. And I want to remind you, I'm hoping that you all tune in again tomorrow for our interview with Jason Garwood. He is the author that you've been hearing advertised every day, several times a day, regarding his book, Health for All of Life. And that is a medical manifesto of hope and healing for the nations. That's tomorrow here on Iron Trip and Zion Radio. Please tune in. I hope you all always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far, far greater Savior than you are a sinner.